I didn't care that whenever, well, especially when they put me out sky shelf out there with this new bunch of guys, 35 new men were dropped. I was made manager over that operation with 35 brand new men that none of them knew me. And I walked in and said, "Hi, I'm Thurman Scrivener. Let's come to the Lord in prayer." And I prayed, and one of the men that had been there the longest, he said the hair stood up on the back of his neck. He said, "I've got a Bible-thumping boss." Now, this guy's a Christian. He's a Presbyterian or something. I forget what he is. He said, "I'm going to have to find me a new job."
Wow.
Now, see, that's how little we know as Christians.
Right.
You take a real man of God that comes in and knows who he is in Christ. And he starts doing things the God way. And then I ask him a question. "You boys ever seen God do a miracle or a healing?" What? A miracle or a healing? No. I said, "You ever see God answer your prayers?" Well, we don't pray. Hey, that's how little we know, isn't it? See, we'd believe the traditions of men in them last few verses. Somebody had deceived us. God don't do miracles no more. He doesn't expect you to walk holy. Now you're under grace. God understands. You're under grace so you can come and get saved. And then you can just go out and do anything you want to. And God's grace will cover that. That's a pretty big lie, isn't it, Gary? But it's very well publicized out there in the church. But let me tell you, folks, it's not what God's Word said. In fact, a while ago, I was talking to them about something in God's Word. I said, something that's very rarely ever spoken of in the church is Hebrews 10:25, 10:26 and on. So what is it? In fact, let's stop right there on this Colossians and let's zip over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 in the NLT. Hebrews 10:26, we'll come right back. Now then, in Hebrews 10:25, look what he says. How many people believe this? Hebrews 10:25, he said, "And let us not neglect our meeting together." In other words, this is going to church, as some people do. "But encourage and warn each other, especially now that you see the day of His coming back again is drawing near." Now then, are we supposed to go to church according to that verse? So why don't people go to church every Sunday? They don't believe God. They go to church when they want to go to church. We're under grace. God understands we want to go to the lake today. That's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay.
One thing that some people take that, there's one verse in the Bible says that you need no man to teach you, that the Holy Spirit will teach you. They take that one verse and they go with that. That's why they don't have to go to church. Because I've heard.
But let me tell you something you need to do. When you get the Word in you, then you won't be drawn away by this vain glory and these things of man. See, when the Word, it's impossible for you to deceive me with those kind of statements now because I know what the Word says. Now then, the Word says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together." Not neglect going to church. We're supposed to be in church. How often are we supposed to be in church? Every time the door's open. This is supposed to be your number one goal. It's to learn about your God. To be a part of it. And he says, let us encourage and warn each other, especially now that today of his coming back is again drawing so near. You know, hey, Paul thought God was coming, thought Jesus was coming back in his lifetime. And he didn't. But I mean, he did. Somebody said, "I don't understand that statement you just made." He didn't come back for all of us, but he came back for Paul. Every one of you is going to have your own personal rapture. You ever stop to think about it like that? One day, let's say you might live to be 80 or 90. But one day, this old body, because of sin, is going to die. And when this body dies, the King is going to come back from glory and he's going to walk right in and he's going to say, "Oh, it's your time. Your number has come up." And he's going to reach down. He's going to take you by the hand and say, "Come on, my dear, let's go." And he's going to take you right out of that body and he's going to take you to heaven.
Yeah.
every one of you is going to have a personal rapture. You know that?
Yes, I'm ready.
The king is going to come back. No, you ain't ready. You got things to do for the kingdom. I rebuke that statement. Let's put it this way, Bill. You're prepared. You're prepared, but you ain't ready. He's got things for you to do. He's got people out there that need to be saved, just like that boy up there the other day. He's got many like that for you.
I'm ready.
Amen. You're ready for that. Amen. You need to be getting them saved, healed, and delivered. He's got a lot of work for you now. I mean, just you're a young man, you know, and he's going to take that young bride of yours, and you and her are going to go do great things for the kingdom of God. Amen. There ain't no two ways about it. Now then, now he says there in Hebrews 10:26, dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we've received a full knowledge of the truth, and if you've heard the truth, you are supposed to be in church. Is that one of his commands? You're supposed to come to church. He said, okay, I know, I've heard it. I'm supposed to go to church. I have the full knowledge of God demands and requires me to go to church. But I'm only going to go when I want to go. You can make that decision. But look what happens to you when you do. If we deliberately continue sinning after we have received a full knowledge of the truth, there is no other sacrifice that will cover these sins. Ooh, what does it say the next verse, Jordan? There will be nothing to look forward to but the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume His enemies.
Wow.
You want to be sick and afflicted? Nope. Then if you don't want to be sick and afflicted, if you don't want to get a speeding ticket, Kim, no speed no more, right, girl? No more. That's like the very first time that Cheryl was coming out to Sunday school class. We wasn't married yet, was we? No, we was engaged, and the Lord had told us to get married, so we had this engagement, and so the next Sunday, she was going to come out to my Sunday school class, and of course, I ain't never been late in my life to Sunday school. That's beside the point. That's your problem, is you had to work till 4 a.m. That's not my problem. But she was going to try her best to get up and come to Sunday school with me, and so she got up late. And then she drove fast, and then she called me, and we're already late, and I'm looking at my watch, wonder where this girl's at. And she called, and she said, honey, I'm down here and over here in Roanoke, and I'm in trouble. A lady police officer has stopped me for speeding. And I was really kind and gentle. I said, let me tell you how to not get stopped for speeding. Don't speed. Well, that started her crying. That was not the best thing in the world to say. But let me tell you, coming from an old hard-nosed preacher that knows what sin, what happens when you sin, I know what happens when you don't sin, right? Don't sin. So what am I going to do? Be nice to you or tell you, stop sinning and you don't have the problem. Is that right? Now then, if God says if you know not to sin, and you sin, and there is nothing left but the raging fire that will consume His enemies. I don't want God's raging fire to fall on me, do you? I don't want that sickness and disease. There will be nothing to look forward to but the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume His enemies. Verse 28. Anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses. Now, see, he's giving you an example here. Anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. He's telling you the seriousness of breaking the law. If you were under the law, let's say, for instance, under the law, it was required every woman that married a man, when she married him, the sheets they slept on had to be kept forever. You know why? Because when a woman has sex with a man the first time, she bleeds. It's a fact of life. Every woman's made like that. And if the woman, after the first night of their marriage, if that sheet didn't have blood on it the next morning, the woman was to be killed. Somebody says, wow, if we did that today, there wouldn't be many of us alive, would there? But that was, they didn't have a whole lot of sex outside of wedlock back in those days, folks. The testimony of two or three witnesses. So the next morning, you bring the sheets and there's no blood. The mom and daddy is two witnesses. Our daughter was not a virgin. She is to be stoned until dead. Aren't you glad we're under a grace today? If she wasn't under grace today, you know how many people in this room be alive? Almost none. It's awesome, isn't it? But God requires in His Word that if anybody refused to obey the law of Moses, he was put to death without mercy on the testimony of just two or three witnesses. And think, he said, now think how much more terrible the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant as if it were common and unholy. Such people have insulted and enraged the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to His people. Think about that. Do you think that under grace it's good to go out and sin, to put God to the test? Now what if you don't know these things? God will be a little more merciful to you, but He still holds you accountable. He holds everyone accountable. So don't anybody think, you know, I'm holier than thou. He holds all of us accountable. So what should we do as His children? When we get saved, what should be our ultimate burning desire? To walk holy before Him. No sin. Is that true? You don't make a vow to your neighbor or to your mother or your father or no one else. You make a vow to God. In fact, Cheryl and I was talking about this morning on the way in. I told her, I said, you know, I think about the number of people that live in a sexually immoral life today. But I said, when I was a young man, I said, when Betty and I got married, we made a vow to each other and to God. I promised her upon the vows of God, I said, I will be true to you as long as you live and as long as I live.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.